With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strothers Wars. I am Eric Strothers, and I do love Steel Wars. And in each episode, I find a Patreon supporter to talk about it with. In this episode, I talk to Ryan Dassing. He's a member of the 501st. He loves Kyle Newman, and he had a couple of pretty interesting episode picks for this one that I'm pretty sure you're going to dig. So let's just jump into it. So, Ryan, 5 months in the making. You sent me this list 5 months ago, and just now we're finally recording an episode of Strothers Wars. You have the patience of a saint.
Hey, better late than never, man. That's all good.
That's sort of my motto in life in general. But luckily you didn't say, well, hey, my entire list of favorite Steel Wars episodes has completely changed now that there's been so many since between then and now. So that works out awesome. And man, you got some great ones. This is going to be a good time. But before we jump into it, anybody who's ever heard an episode of Strothers Wars before, we always follow the format that Steel does, and that's ask the guest, when did you first get into Star Wars? What's your first memory of Star Wars?
So my first memory of Star Wars, I was born in 81. So I was kind of born in between Empire and Jedi. And growing up, my aunt watched me a lot. And my cousin was my age. And he got a lot of hand-me-downs from a bunch of his other cousins. So I remember one of my first memories is he had a X-Wing Luke and he had a Nimnum of the vintage loose characters. And I just thought they were so cool looking. And I had no idea what Star Wars was, but every time I went over there, those were the action figures I picked up. So that's my first memory of anything Star Wars. And that was back in 85, 84, something like that.
That's cool, man. I always like it when somebody's first exposure to Star Wars is via the toys with no prior preconceived notion of it, because they're so iconic to look at and they draw you in so much. A big part of my thing for the nostalgia of the toys is like just looking at them, not just playing with them, but because they were so cool and so mysterious. So that's really neat.
It was that like bright orange flight suit that had that like pattern to it, and then that Nimnum's face, you're like, what is that? But you're just like drawn to that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, what was the first Star Wars movie that you recall seeing?
I don't remember which first one I watched. I'm probably going to go out and say it was probably Jedi. That was the movie that made me fall in love with Star Wars when it's all said and done. I like the completion of it, and I just loved I don't think it's the best Star Wars movie. But in my eyes, that's the movie that I fell in love with Star Wars. So I think it was Jedi.
Yeah, that's a tough one to beat, man. That's probably the movie I think that I have I take that back. I saw A New Hope. Well, it wasn't A New Hope then, but I saw it in the theaters a couple of times. And then I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater, but the experience doesn't stick out to me as much as the experience of seeing Return of the Jedi did. So are you pro Ewok then?
I am pro Ewok.
That's good. That's good. So let me ask you this. When did you first discover Steel Wars?
I first discovered Steel Wars through, now this is podcasting. I got into making Star Wars. I got into Star Wars podcasting like 2014, something like that. And listening, they kept having this Australian guy on, and I'm like, who's this guy stealing? What's Steel Wars? So I ran out of podcasts to listen to, and I said, let me check out the Steel Wars thing. And man, that was so funny. I'm like, dude, this guy's hilarious. And bing, bang, boom. Next thing I know, I'm listening to every episode. And next thing you know, I'm a Patreon. Steel's a good dude. And we have a lot of the same common things. And I'm a big merch guy. So yeah, I own some t-shirts. I own some stickers. I'm not going to lie.
My dude, those stickers are great. My kids love them. Every time we go to, I have them at my office at work. I have a pile of stickers in there. And Stella, my little girl, is always wanting to take a couple of extras of whichever one she thinks she doesn't have enough of, even though she's got all of them. So do you remember the very first episode of Steel Wars that you heard?
I don't. I know I didn't start, like, once I got into them, I didn't start at episode one. Just I kind of want to, I'm pretty up current with Star Wars news and cons and stuff, so I didn't want to go back too far because I knew all the stuff that they were talking about. So yeah, I don't remember where it was, but I know it was I went back after I like listened to three episodes. I was like, all right, I gotta listen to this guy from the jump before he was Steel Wars, back when he was the podcast you're looking for. So I went back all the way down to one and just worked my way back up after that.
It's what's crazy to me is to go back and listen to those episodes and to hear that he really had the vision for it down and the format for it down. And it was a great show right out of the gate. I mean, he's obviously just gotten better with time, but it was really cool to hear it from the beginning.
I'm a creature of habit. So I like, when it comes to podcasts, I like when they're released on a certain day. I like when they stick to the same intro. I like when they stick to the same format. And yeah, along with your awesome podcast, he does the same thing. And I love that. As a, I wouldn't say I'm OCD, but I'm kind of, when it comes to podcasting.
Well, it's like that comfortable voice, you know, the nice, oh, I know this is predictable and these are my friends and I know that's how this is going to go. I guess maybe I should stop switching up the theme on the Bad Motivators, because I'm just randomly throwing in the original theme and then the theme I made out of the solo trailer. The main thing I like about the solo trailer version of the theme is that it says Best in the Galaxy, Eric Struthers. It's like, you're damn right. But,
I was like, I wonder whose voice that is that's muffled. I wonder.
Well, one of my friends said, so did you notice that it's like that? I said, I made it. Of course I noticed. It was intentional. But, oh, yeah. Well, hey, I tell you what, let's just bust into this. So the very first episode that you have on the list is episode 164 with Sal Perales. And Sal is the elusive member of the Now This Is Podcasting family that somehow I never have been able to talk to in person, but he's a super cool dude. All the interactions I have with him. Tell me about this episode. What sticks out in it for you?
So what I love about this with Sal is, when I started listening to Now This Is Podcasting, I was not into spoilers. I try to keep my distance. I like the element of surprise. And I like what, you know, what Jason and all them do. I like what they do for, you know, the people who want spoilers. But I always knew I was safe when Sal was there. So hearing Sal was always that, like, comfort. Okay, cool. I'm not going to hear anything I don't want to hear because he's still there. So he's always kind of been that, like, you know, safety net for me. So when he came on and started talking about how he met Steel and that whole thing, I thought that was hilarious because I'm all about origin stories. I love them.
About 4 years ago, they premiered Rebels. Well, it would have been 4 years ago in July. Is that right? Or is it five years ago in July?
It would have been, it was 2014. So about four. Yeah,
yeah. Because it was at Comic-Con. It was at San Diego where they had that screening. And you guys, I was in that screening.
You were in the line behind Jason. I had just met Jason at WonderCon like a couple of months before. And I walked up to the line and he was like, hey, like, you know, and I was like, oh man, is this the line? Damn, we're like super late because we just ran over from the panel.
Yeah.
And then he was like, if you're on the list, I don't think you have to wait in this line. This is just for people who are not on the list. And I was like, all right, cool. Thanks.
The weirdest thing is, so like, you know, I see you know, Jason and Randy and Sal, like pretty much every 2 weeks, if I'm around on Friday nights to do the Now It's Podcasting.
So he's not lying. He actually goes podcasting over there for about 6 hours.
I don't
know
about your wife. My wife wonders where I am when I get home at 4 o'clock. Can you tell her it's because Jason won't shut up?
Yeah, it's my fault as well because they have to wait for me to arrive and then it does tend
That's
to go
right.
on.
Steel is late sometimes.
I've got to come from LA. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's so weird because I was in, so when this Rebels, there was like a Rebels panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And then there was sort of like this secret premiere at the theater in San Diego. And someone told me about it. So I'm like, I was there by myself. So I was like, well, I'll just see if I can get in. I've got a good habit of getting into things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this line. Like, I don't know Jason. I don't know he exists. I don't know his silly spoiler website that lies about that he's like writing Star Wars
movies. I don't know
movies.
Anything about makingstarwars.com. Nothing.
I don't know about .org, .biz, .uk, .china. None of them. I don't know any about them, right? But I remember watching that conversation because I was so fascinated that people knew each other because I didn't know anyone. And I was like, oh, all these people know each other. How do they know this is on? And then you said, oh, I'm on the list. Oh, you can go straight in. I'm like, how's that guy know that guy? How's this guy get on the list? Like, where's the list? Like, I was so befuddled about how it was all working. And there's this photo that for some reason always gets used for Jason's, like if someone interviews Jason, they use this photo of him and Randy at the front of the line holding their lightsabers, like waiting to go in. And it's like you can see my shoulder in this photo a few people back. And then the weird thing is the next year was Force Awakens year. And that's when I met Jason because he said, oh, just stand in line with me. And then we had to stand in line together for like 24 hours.
Wow.
So by the end, we were like, let's be blood brothers. Bet no blood.
It's a crazy story too, that just that it seems so random and then for them to be such good friends now.
Yeah, you would think it was like planned, like, hey, we're just going to tell these people this is how we met. And it's, I know all those dudes are just, you know, totally real and like that story is great. And I know Star Wars fans and I'm sure there's many other people that meet at conventions and celebrations and it just goes on like that. And they just happen to have a podcast. And yeah, like I said, I love all those dudes.
Now, speaking of cons and celebration, will you be going to Celebration in Chicago next year?
Unfortunately not. I know. I had a pre-Disney trip already planned in the making about a year ago, and I had my fingers and toes crossed it was going to be Orlando so I could plan my Disney trip around Celebration. And as soon as I heard Chicago, I was like, I can't do Disney and Chicago in the same year. It just with the kids and the wife. And yeah, no, I had to choose my battles. And I said, all right, I asked my wife straight up. I said, so I can't do Chicago. And she gave me the usual typical wife look like, no, you can't do Chicago.
Oh man. I totally get it. Me personally, you know, I work at a church and the last year's celebration was on Easter weekend. Ouch. And dude, that's like working in retail and saying, hey, is it cool if I'm not here the day after Thanksgiving?
Exactly.
That's a firm no.
Yeah, I feel you.
And so them letting me go was a miracle in and of itself. And now this upcoming one is on the weekend before Easter. Thank goodness. I dodged a bullet, but it'll be a good time. But we'll miss you. You'll get to hear plenty of podcasts from it though. So at least there's that.
I'll be on the podcast hunt and I'll be live streaming that whole entire thing.
Oh, sweet. Well, now this is a curious choice. But speaking of podcasts, we've got episode 48 with Jimmy Mack, and you know, Jimmy, man, he's been around. So give me your take on this one.
I used to be one, when I first started getting into podcasting, I was a big fan of his show, and he had that voice, that radio voice. When I was a wee little lad and my eyes were bright and I was trying to get into radio and television when I was in college. And hearing his voice reminded me of my professor, who told me I did not have a voice for radio. So, yeah. But anyway, his voice just resonated with me. Like, he just has that great radio voice. And yeah, so I was big into his podcast. And that's how I kind of, you know, and then when Steele interviewed him, and I thought it was a great interview Steele had a year ago with him. And some things have, you know, happened since. And, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinions, whether I agree with it or not. But this interview, looking back in retrospect from 5 months when I picked this out, kind of just makes you wonder, dude, maybe you should take your own advice, because things have happened since then.
I love to see podcasting grow in that direction. But again, I'll bring it up, you know, you're taking away from the core of what I assume to be the most valuable thing about podcasting. And that's the fact that you can use your broadcasting skills or experience or whatever and find that niche area where normal radio stations wouldn't necessarily want to go down that road because it's so focused. And the thing you have to deal with when you're talking about broadcasting, it's in the word itself, broadcasting. You need to be reaching a broad audience. So you have to have variety. You have to dumb things down. You have to keep it mainstream when you're doing radio broadcasting. So you can't really have a 40-minute argument about when the Force Awakens novel is going to come out. You know, I mean, you're not going to be doing the Billy D quote of the week, although I think that would fly in mainstream radio. But you know what I'm saying? You can't get so specific when you're a broadcaster. So that's what I found so just refreshing about podcasting when it came on the scene around 2004, 2005, 2006. It was the fact that you could get hyper-focused on something and you will find an audience who speaks the language you're speaking and shares that passion and enthusiasm for the subject matter. So that's what I always loved about it so much. And so I used it as an extension of my career, as an extension of a broadcasting career. Nowadays, it's like, well, I have a blog, I need a podcast. And so it's an extension of blogging and social media. And that's where I run into sometimes a little bit of a problem, because I think then people don't understand journalistic integrity. They don't understand that you need to go through proper channels to get things done. I see a lot of people using social media to publicly ask talent, actors, actresses, if they would come on. Will you come on my podcast? You know what, guys? That is so unprofessional. It makes me want to hurl. You cannot approach a public figure in public and ask them that kind of request, because if for whatever reason they can't come on your show, you're making them look bad. You're making them look like they're up sitting in their ivory tower saying, well, I'm too good for you, fan. You know, even if that's not the case, they might not see your tweet, but everyone else will. So that, I think you're putting an unfair burden on the talent that you're trying to get on your show. And by doing so, it makes all of us look bad in the meantime.
Really? Now, you know, I've got a confession to make then, Jimmy Mack.
You do it all the time, right?
My other podcast is a comedy podcast, and we review the complaint letters to the TV Guide back in Australia. Make fun of what people complain about, like in the newspaper, about television and radio. And we have gotten some of the biggest TV stars in Australia simply by, hey, do you want to come talk about just tweeting? Hey, come on our podcast. Dozens of, like, the biggest TV stars in Australia have been on the show just through me tweeting them.
Oh, God. You're one of those. Well, see, I think you put an unfair amount of pressure on the talent by publicly making a request like that. And that's just me. You know, I think that there's proper channels to go through. When I want to talk to someone associated with Lucasfilm, I go to Lucasfilm and I make it official through them, and they reach out to the talent. Now, over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of people associated with Star Wars, where it's not wrong for me to approach them directly. And sometimes I do, but I never do so publicly. And if someone approaches me publicly with a tweet and they want to talk some business, you know, my suggestion is find the right way to reach out to me, and don't do it publicly. There's proper channels to do it. And that to me is some journalistic integrity that gets lost on the social media circles when it comes to producing podcasts. So I'm going to slap you on your wrist, Steel Saunders. He has no journalistic integrity whatsoever. Steel Saunders using and abusing Twitter while harassing various famous public figures. He's going to steal an interview from you. He's Steel Saunders.
I thought you were going to get revenge on me by spoiling something from the new movie. It's just like, that's it.
Well, I got the fat one I think you were talking about earlier. I don't want to repeat it.
But in my defense, in a lot of these TV networks, they don't even really get what a podcast is. So it is a lot easier to go direct to that person. And they go, oh, yeah, I'll do that. That's fun. But the publicist isn't. Whereas Lucasfilm, obviously, are very aware of what a podcast is.
And just a little bit of inside baseball here for the listeners. Ryan and I actually discussed this whenever I was going over the list right before we started. I'm like, so this one. And he told me, he gave me a good rundown of why it would work out. So I'm glad he did, because it's good stuff. It's, he does have a good voice. And, you know, Rebel Force Radio is like probably the first Star Wars podcast I ever listened to.
Yep,
that totally. Or maybe the Star Wars underworld. But regardless,
time change, people change, you know, it just like I said, I'm not stirring any pots. Just it's just interesting to listen back to this click and go, all right.
Well, that's that's sure something.
I'm like, maybe people shouldn't throw stones in glass houses. I don't know. Maybe just me. I don't know.
you know, I just had to tell my son that whenever he came running to me whining about somebody whining. And I said, glass houses, buddy. You can't tattle on somebody for something that you're currently doing to tell me about it. So.
I think, like I said, just to lightly tap on it, I think Steel should come out with a shirt that has the definition of broadcasting. That's all I got to say. Mic drop. Boom.
Oh, man. Hey. So, hey, Steel, when you hear this and you make a t-shirt, you know where the royalties have to go with all that sweet, sweet t-shirt money.
Send them to Baltimore.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so next up, episode 41. Power of the Mug Mouth with Leighton James Dyer. So, fill me in.
I thought it was just great how, you know, this came out before Solo, way before Solo came out. But when I, Solo was just about to release when I picked these episodes out. And I thought it was cool because I was like, you don't have to do all these callbacks to make something good. And yeah, you can just, you know, we don't need, I think sometimes fan service is just too, it's too, you get it too much or you get none. There's no happy medium with that. And I just thought he made a good point when he came back going, you don't have to go back and, you know, oh God, the Greedo from the cutout scene of Phantom Menace. Oh,
one thing that's been annoying me in Star Wars lately, especially with the cartoons,
Rebels.
With Rebels and Clone Wars and even with the prequels, is just like, we don't need so much foreshadowing. Like you don't need all these lines where it's like, oh, that's ironic because later on, you know, like it's just like they had in, do you watch Rebels?
I watch every episode of Rebels, yeah.
Okay. So in the finale, and I assume, well, by the time this comes out, it's going to be, because we've got, it's going to be probably 2 months since it's come out, once this episode hits. So I think 2 months.
Most people would have seen it.
Yeah, if you're downloading Star Wars podcasts, you would have.
You've downloaded Rebels.
Yeah, and the final episode is, it's really good. It has to be the best one. But Tarkin has this line, or there's something where he has to evacuate. And all, you know, I listen to all the podcasts that review them all, and they're like, "Oh, that's like a," because you know he had to evacuate, and this time he does. Like, it'd be great if, Like, yeah, you know, that led to
speculation.
That, you know, the line where he goes, evacuate now, time of triumph. And it's like everything, every line in Star Wars or in the original films, it doesn't have to be foreshadowed. Like, it's sort of write the story as though you haven't seen
episode four.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to have all these wink callbacks.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I know in one of the prequels, I think Anakin, Ben Kenobi said to Anakin, you'll be the death of me or something like that. And
that's pretty cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was on the string. And there was a deleted scene in The Phantom Menace, which was just getting hit over, you know, the head with the hammer, where Greedo gets in a fight with, like, there's a Greedo as a youth gets in a fight with Anakin. And
is this during when they're building the podcast or something? Pod races, what
they're called. Yeah. And in the deleted scene after the fight, and sort of like the moral of the scene is that Anakin got in a fight because he didn't believe, Greedo didn't believe him that he was going to go in the pod race. And then Qui-Gon afterwards goes, well, does he believe you now? And he goes, nah. And he goes, well, what's the point of, you know, you can't, through violence, you can't get someone to change their opinion. And then someone goes to Greedo, oh, you better watch out. You're going to get killed one of these days. You know, like, and it's something like that. And it's just like, because we've seen the movie. Yeah, like,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. It's just like that. Everything doesn't have to foreshadow, like, or like, it sort of just, it's like hack comedy kind of. It frustrates me that, I don't know, we sort of like a lot of the fans, like on podcasts and that, they celebrate all these like homages that to things that have already, like, we're so desperate for things to happen again.
Yeah,
exactly the same.
Oh, like, I mean, I guess I want that as well a little bit here and there. Like, I loved seeing like those rebel things when, you know, the toy you can get when you slap little the figures on the side. And we saw them in Rebels.
Yep,
we got that,
the Imperial troop transport.
Yeah, it was just I kind of was like, I loved it for some reason, just because I had that toy. I don't have it anymore, but, like, you know, just something I'd never really seen it before. Seeing something exist was quite nice.
Oh yeah, well that's a bit different because it's a design. It's something that, you know, of course, you know, if there'll be a car, you know, like that would be duplicated.
It should be around.
But actual events happening again, or things getting repeated in lines, like
Tarkin was pretty cool though.
I love the Tarkin character, but the whole thing about people wanting him to constantly to be evacuating, and then the Death Star, that's when he doesn't evacuate. Like, it's just like,
he just needs to be evil. No, you just need to be an evil, crazy looking face, and
say
enough
snappy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a little bit like getting beat over the head with it sometimes. And I can understand how, like, when you're so on the inside of something, it's hard to look at it like somebody from the outside of it. It's like you're just too close to it to not make those sorts of judgment calls. But I thought the whole having a skateboarder on there was cool too, you know, because Steele, with his skateboarding past,
we do have that in common. I used to be a skateboarder too, so I definitely appreciated that episode.
It's cool, the Force t-shirt. Well, actually, a lot of his t-shirts are taken from, you know, their skateboarding merch references.
Oh, yeah, like the Yub Nub, the Ewok. I love that one.
Yeah, and the Have You Seen Him, which is the Search for Animal Chin.
Yep.
The Force is the Supreme logo. And it was funny, one of my buddies who used to be way into skateboarding, he saw me wearing that shirt, and he couldn't place where it came from. I'm like, come on, man, you can do it. But
that's fun.
So yeah, I got him one, and like the very first time he ever wore it, somebody saw it and said, "Hey, that's like the Supreme logo."
And
he still hadn't figured it out. Oh my gosh! So, oh man! So you picked a live show that I really like. This is episode 157. The Last Jedi had just come out, so it was the live reaction show to it, and. Have Now, you've probably never been to any of Steele's live shows.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you?
Not yet, but I swear I will be there when he comes to New York one day.
That's why I was wondering if you'd managed to make it to that last one there. So I got to go to the solo live reaction show, and that was pretty sweet. But this Last Jedi one, man, I really dug. So tell me your take on this, because it's a good one.
Okay, so I'll lay out the groundwork before I get into it. I am a huge Kyle Newman fan. The way he speaks and the things he's done, just, I mean, they're, in my eyes, they're great. This guy speaks with so much truth, and his convictions, the way he talks about things, is just like, how do you not believe that? Like, how do you not, like, it's almost like I'm hearing my inner thoughts and the way I feel things, the way he talks. You can love a Star Wars movie, and yet you can still pick out the things that you don't like about certain things. And you can't tell yourself, question yourself, am I a fan because I don't like this? Or is that person not a fan because they don't like that? Like, no, we're all invested in it. But there can be things that you don't like and yet still love Star Wars. And it was great because he definitely picked out a lot more than I would have, because granted, I'm not a film guy, you know. I'm a dude that loves Star Wars and loves watching movies, but no way am I a film critic by any stretch of the imagination. But just the way he talks, it's just believable. You're like, I was like, yeah, man, tell him. That's right. I was like, it's hype, man.
There is a lot of comparison going on in the fan community. Like, well, they didn't do this in A New Hope, and they didn't explain Tarkin or the Emperor. And you're like, hold on a second. That was an all-in film in 1977. He scraped it together. He barely got it going. He put every great idea he could into that film, not knowing he was going to do prequels or sequels. And that stands on its own. It's like he's just making the best movie, not knowing if I'm ever going to need to have a backstory. So take your backstory argument, stuff it in your pocket, sit on it. It's not valid.
Okay, I will take your stuffed backstory argument, get it back out of my pocket.
Put it here. Yeah. Let's talk about it then.
And also say, we didn't know much about the Emperor by the time Return of the Jedi finished.
Except we felt the Emperor. We felt the effects of the Empire and the Emperor and his tyranny permeate every single character in their lives. Han Solo is Han Solo. He is the nihilist he is. He is the self-centered, self-serving guy he is because he's been forced to. It's Imperial rule. That's why he's jury-rigged his ship. That's why he does what he does. That's why he's only out for himself. That's the nature of the galaxy. Luke, even in the way he lives, what he comes from, how he dresses, it's this trickle-down of the oppression. Princess Leia, everyone is so clearly drawn, and they're all characters and reflections of what the Empire means and does. That is void in Force Awakens. We don't get a sense of the threat of the First Order. We don't know why there's a First Order. We don't know how it affects, other than, you know, we're kind of told in novels how it affects. Most people don't know what the hell Hosnian Prime was, unless you've read the books or know about deleted scenes. It's not in the DNA on screen of the film. So it's void of the politics and consequently void of some of the emotional consequence of it. So you do want to know how Snoke became the head of the Imperial Remnant. How did he get this machine? How did he exist for a thousand years unbeknownst to the Jedi and the Sith? How is he on screen more powerful than the Emperor, allowing two people to cross space and time and touch each other? It's kind of important to me. And he doesn't have to say, hi, my name's Bill. It's my real name. I'm from a planet called, you know, Rathus Prime. I don't need that. What I want to know is that he says just something like, I've waited 1,000 years for them to play their game. Now I've the real prophecy. Something that steeps it in a little more importance. So it's not just some asshat guy that comes out of nowhere that owns everything the Emperor used to own. How did he? It's kind of important. And people can say, oh, it's a Tarkin. We didn't know what he did. Or we didn't know what the Emperor did. We did, because we also got that story. And this is coming 9 films in, 40 years in. And if you're going to make a sequel, you then have to justify and have fun with it. It's a challenge for the filmmaker and the storyteller to say, how can I make this fresh, but how can I also kind of give hints as to why it evolved like that? And I know everyone's like, read Chuck Wendig's books. I read them. Don't. I didn't love them. I'm sorry. They were void of fairy tale, void of fantasy, unnecessarily violent. And I felt like I don't want to find out how the First Order came to be in a Chuck Wendig book. I want to find out some of that in the DNA of these films. So I love these films, but yes, you can love the movies and still have criticisms that are valid without people telling you you're wrong or insane. And it's okay as fans to get together and talk about it and say, this didn't make sense for me. This doesn't feel right. I still love the movie. I'm going to watch it more than any other movie that came out in 2017. I already have. But I can still have issues with it, and that's what's part of being a fan and part of what's fun about it is to get into that, roll up your sleeves and talk about it, and why did this not work, why did it? But I can see there's people like, you don't need that, and for them, they didn't need it. But for me, I felt like it was essential and vital and one of those missing ingredients in the soup.
He's definitely very firm in his convictions and opinions. And I probably had less criticisms of The Last Jedi than he did. Now, what specifically did he say about The Last Jedi in this that you're like, heck yeah?
When he talked about Snoke, all he had to do is make a couple references to where Snoke came from to make it more believable of how this guy's so powerful. And I totally agree with him.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some truth in that. Me personally, I tend to give the things I dig so much of a pass that I try to not dwell on it. But you are right. That is for sure on that.
I get along with people that have his mentality, and I would love to sit next to him at a bar, crack open a beer, and have a conversation with that guy.
He's pretty cool, man. He's pretty cool. He had similar things to say about Solo, if I do recall. But we'll have another little bit more Kyle Newman coming up here shortly. But before we get there, so I've talked about how much I like collecting and stuff like that. This episode 160 with the Suck Lord is really, really something, man. His journey is awesome. What he does is super cool. He'll custom make figures and do kit bashing and stuff like that. So tell me about this one for you.
He has the same passion that I have, which I'm sure you do, and anyone listening to this podcast has. Star Wars consumes my life, and I'm okay with that. I've embraced that, and my life goes on, and I still, you know, I have a job, and I have kids, and I have a wife, and everything goes along, but Star Wars, just, you know, it's part of me. It's just how I live. And he talks about how someone completely dismissed it and said, yeah, but it's just a movie. So what if you don't get that part of the movie, then what does it matter?
What I find interesting is that, and I'm guilty of this too. It's like you get mad at people who take it too seriously, and then you get mad at people who just dismiss it. It's just a Star Wars movie. Like my friend Nick Gazin wrote an article for Vice Magazine reviewing the film, and he wrote it in a very Vice Magazine tone where it was sort of dismissive and just like, it was kind of good, it was kind of stupid, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he posted on Instagram, and I started I said, like, oh, this is the most misunderstood Star Wars movie ever. And he was like, he mocked me for the suggestion that you could misunderstand a Star Wars movie. Like, he's like, this movie is not important enough or not serious enough for it even to be, you know, deeply analyzed. And it's like, that offended me. You know, it's just like, whatever your takeaway from it is at the end of the day, whether it's a good movie, a bad movie, it did what you thought it was supposed to do, it has incredible gravitas and weight and importance to people, whether you're a casual fan or whether you're a diehard fan. It's super important. Every single frame of that movie matters. And to have somebody dismiss the whole thing as just not being important, like, I was really, really personally offended by that suggestion. And it's like, I respect people who are diehard fans that didn't like it and have their reasoning for not liking it, but they're still treating it, the material, as significant and important. And to have it dismissed as just some dumb movie that doesn't matter, that bothered me deeply. I was deeply offended. Like, you insulted my religion.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, it's so, like, it's just there that people can misunderstand it or not get, like, I was
talking with someone on Twitter today, and they're, you know, bummed about Luke Skywalker, and it's like, oh, he did nothing. And I'm like, oh, he inspired a galaxy. That was, you know, that was his parting shot, was to inspire a new generation. He's like, well, what proof of that is there in the film? And I'm like, the last scene.
The little dude with the broom.
That's the whole point of the scene, is that, like, they're telling the story of Luke Skywalker that's been, like...
with action figures, mind you.
Yes.
You can tell when people are kind of like, yeah, this guy likes Star Wars, cool. I bet he's got a good life. I bet he lives in his parents' basement. And it's like, tell me why you like it. Tell me why you don't. But do not tell me it doesn't matter. Don't tell me that my passion means nothing, because it's more than a movie. It's more than a trilogy. It's more than a saga. It's part of me. I'm an active member in the 501st, like you, sir. And like I said, it's in my household, and Star Wars is 1A in my house. So yeah, don't tell me Star Wars doesn't matter. And I definitely picked this episode because I had that passion, and everything he said, man, I was right behind him. Just, yep. Let me call this guy and tell him what I feel too.
Now, speaking of being in the 501st, what's your main costume that you do? How many designations do you have?
I have three. I'm a bridge crew member. I am a TIE pilot, and I'm an Imperial gunner. And I started off with just the regular basic Imperial TIE Fighter Reserve, just, you know, the flight suit, the hat, the gloves, the belt, the boots. And then from then I got into gunner, and I was trying to go for TIE pilot, but the gunner kind of just fell in my lap, and talking to people and doing the whole connections. And I got really into the gunner. So I actually finished my gunner before I actually finished my TIE pilot. I still have my TIE pilot stuff I'm still working on. I'm almost done. But yeah, so I think right now my main costume is my Imperial gunner.
With all the building that you have to do for stuff like that, have you ever done anything like what the Suck Lord does and taken a bunch of figures apart and built your own or modded one in any way?
No, I haven't. But I'll tell you one thing. My son, he's 6, and his main goal in life is to get a really cool Star Wars character and rip its head off. And he knows it drives me up the wall. And I don't buy him very good characters because I know what he does. He rips the heads off, rips the feet off. But the funny thing is, he always keeps the head and he puts them on different characters. So sometimes, you know, there'll be a Spider-Man that has a Vader head on it. And I think that's kind of funny. And then hearing this episode where he goes and does things like that, I'm like, man, my son's a Suck Lord in the making.
Yeah, he's destined for greatness. Anyway, that episode is fantastic. He's got some great stories about, like, his intern days, and anybody who's into collecting or is just the assembly of things. It's really, really cool. But so okay, now this next one is a super throwback, and this is episode 10 with Paul Verhoeven. And the older episodes, man, they just hold a special place in my heart. But give me the run on this. What about this one sticks out to you?
What I love about this is that I come from very humble beginnings, and I love when people are just completely honest and they talk about, hey, I didn't grow up rich. I barely grew up middle class. We were poor people growing up, and we love Star Wars. And this was so funny, and I don't know why it got me some, you know, gave me such a tickle.
Oh, God. The first action figure I ever owned in my entire life was Crix Medine.
more of a figure than an action figure.
Okay, yeah, because he doesn't really do much. But Crix Medine is like, he looks like a young blonde David Stratton.
So that, for everyone, is one of the rebel leaders in the in Return of the Jedi, when they are showing the map on how to get into the Death Star.
When
and
you
stuff.
Send your mum, she says, I'm going to go get you a toy. And as a poor kid, I'm like, yes, sweet, Star Wars, please. I neglected to mention which Star Wars. And so my mom comes back with Crix Medine. And then, to add insult to injury, a few weeks later, my grandma, for Christmas, gets me what is clearly an action figure. And you can, you know, you can tell that raised bit in the middle, the plastic bit across the cardboard backing, and I know it's an action figure. And she knows I like Star Wars. So I open, oh, it's Crix Medine again. So I have two Crix Medines. I have basically two space librarians.
Yeah, well, see, the first one,
yeah,
when you got the first one, it's just like, oh, your mom is clueless.
Yeah.
But the fact that it happened again, I think it's the vibe you were sending out as a youth.
No, don't say I was giving off a Crix Medine vibe, because then that explains the beatings.
Like hanging out in the library, it's just like...
No, that was later. That was my teenage years. Oh, God, maybe I've been a Crix Medine man all my life. Because he had the worst hair and beard. Even as a kid, I knew that they just put glue on his face and stuck on just, you know, bits of fluff.
And if you don't know, Crix Medine, the action figure came... He didn't come with a lightsaber or a laser gun.
Nope.
He came with a sweet space pointer.
Yeah, like he came with a laser pointer because he was... PowerPoint guy.
Yeah.
They're basically getting the briefing. Luke and Leia and Han are getting, you know, the briefing on how to destroy the second Death Star. And Luke's clearly thinking, look, I've done this before, and rolling his eyes.
Been there, done that.
Damn straight. He got the achievement and everything. So basically Crix comes up and gives, I think it's one paragraph of very bland dialogue, and then he disappears again, never to be seen again.
Crix Medine is one of the most useless characters, and why they made an action figure is beyond me.
That character is bizarro to me, just because of like how he looks on screen with the beard. And when you look at it, you think, what was the thought process that went into that? But to end up with two of the same one, that's like, I suspect that there were a lot of unsuspecting grandparents getting kids Zuvios.
I was like, just about to say,
it's like, oh, this character must be really popular with as many of them as they have.
They're just stuck with this Crix Medine. But yeah. not to be a Crix Medine apologist, but I don't know if you, I'm sure you have, but have you seen the deleted scenes where they were going to have him as Ackbar, and he went and did the same lines as Ackbar did, sitting in the chair, and he put out a little more emotion than he did, you know, giving that briefing. So, like I said, we didn't get prime Medine, but he opened up his chops a little bit if you go back and watch the deleted scenes.
Yeah, actually, I mean, he's apparently a pretty good actor. I just feel bad. It's just how I just like the visuals more than anything, I think, really didn't help. Yeah,
he got pigeonholed.
But I'm trying to think if I ever had one of those 3 3/4 inch figures. I bet they're easy to come by now.
Well, it's funny because I collect 3 3/4 vintage loose, and I don't have a Crix Medine.
Really?
I kind of want one now. Just for that story, just like I look at it and just laugh.
Well, you should get a hold of Paul.
I should.
See if he can hook you up with one of them. If I ever find one at Saga Toys, located in South St. Louis County on Lindbergh Avenue, right by Home Depot and Hooters, I will pick you one up.
Sounds good, man.
I'll ask my buddy Rich if he's got one. Anyway, sorry, I totally got sidetracked. Now I'm thinking about Saga Toys and going in there and spending all my money. What I really want to get right now, though, quite frankly, is the 6-inch Black Series Emphas Nest on the Swoop bike. That's... Oh, that thing's rad. I've got to get in on the whole hashtag TBM shelf check, because I've got several shelves that are piled with stuff that I can't display properly because I can't fit enough stuff in there that if I display it. So,
yeah, I mean, I heard you had like a really cool fan that like made your own hashtag for you guys. Like, that guy must be awesome.
He must be great, man. He must be great. Well, it's cool that it's caught on. It's except I'm the one nerd who hasn't bothered to follow through on it except for once. But anyway, sorry. Man, I keep getting sidelined here. It's my own fault. Okay.
No, I'm the king of sidelining. Sorry.
So, all right. So here we go. Episode 141, live with Kyle Newman. And this is the where we get to hear about, well, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've come to notice that there's a lot of Star Wars fans who love the movie fanboys, and there's people who don't like them, and they're just wrong. I love fanboys. I think it is hilarious. I feel like the plot was great. There's just so much to love about it. Maybe because, you know, I was around that age group when it came out, and I don't know why I relate to it so much, but it is one of my favorite movies. And when it comes to Kyle Newman, like I said, I love everything he does. And when people were trying to hold him down and tell him the most asinine things that they wanted to do with this movie, I'm just like, are you kidding me?
They were always very, you know, appreciative. Like, you did what you asked, but we're going to try and make it broader. Or we're going to put a crawl on here. They wanted a crawl that opened with fanboys. With like a definition, it's like a term for fucking losers who live in their mom's basement. Like, I was like, you immediately alienate everybody if you do that. And they're like, yeah, but everybody who's not will think it's funny. I'm like, yeah, but the people you're marketing the movie to are the ones coming to it. You're not marketing to the anti community. Yeah. Like, wake up. And like,
that finds that funny is in the audience.
They wanted to change the title of the movie to Trippin' with an apostrophe on the end. We did photo shoots with all the characters, like, in the van. And at one point, Linus, he just had a slice of pizza. And he was like, we're like, where's the pizza? What are you talking? Where's the pizza scene? We're like, well, nerds like pizza. I was like, they're not fucking Ninja Turtles. Like, what is he doing with a slice of pizza? And then, like, they're like, he's dying. Let's not have people look at his face. So they stuck a Wookiee mask on his head. And then they wanted to call the movie My Greatest Adventure.
Whoever came up with that idea, it's sort of dark, but I would like to see video of them visiting their sick friend in hospital where, just before I talk, just put on this helmet for a little bit. I don't want you to bring me down.
So we went to this, we closed the deal on the movie verbally, and they're like, we're going to go meet Harvey at this hotel here in the peninsula in town, and we close this thing, and his head of production's there. And like, let's go get food. So we go to this Italian place across the street. And we're all excited. And he's like, everything's great, man. The only thing we had to work on is
Italian. This. Classic nerds
loving pizza.
They're
like, we got to work on the title.
Oh.
I was like, the title? What's going on here? This is suddenly went from bad to worse in like 8 minutes. And then he's like, you know what? We want something catchy, simple, like Wedding Crashers. I was like, fanboys. He's like, what is that? I don't even know what does that mean? Think about it, though. Think about it. And then for like 2 years, it was
I can't comprehend not knowing what that means.
We had a movie poster. I have 100 bad movie posters. They comp for it. And this was like my life for like 2 years was just mitigating the bad. And there's one of like Dan Fogler, and he's like Mission Impossible Tom Cruise. And there's a room. It's like the room from Mission Impossible. And he's there like, you know, like this, like all stretched out. And he's dressed like a ninja. And all his friends are up in like a little hole in the top looking down. Like dressed like ninjas, and you just see their eyes. I was like, "What is this?" They're like, it doesn't matter. We're just getting people in the theater. Like, this is how they. This is the posters they made. They spent money on like graphic artists comping this shit together. It made no sense. Like, once they were just Dan and Jay Baruchel were back to back like ninjas too. Another one, and they had like lightsabers, but they were just ninjas with this their eye. I was like, why the ninja? Like, I guess nerds like ninjas. So pizza and ninjas.
It harkens back to Kurosawa's Secret Fortress.
One of them had a VHS cam. Oh. Like Linus, who was dying. Like, it's like he's documenting his life. I'm like, except that's not in the fucking movie. Why is that on my post? Like, there was all these type of things. Like, one time they're like, we could just shoot a scene for the trailer. And they're like, I know you're looking at me like, don't look at me like that. I know you're angry, but just hear us out. Like, everyone loves animals, right? And I was like, oh, my God, okay. They're like, what about a monkey? I'm like, okay, a monkey. Like, at the opening party, and the monkey drinks the Heineken, and the monkey vomits in the fat guy's helmet, and the fat guy puts the helmet on his head just for the trailer. That's what they pitched me. Just for the trailer, not for your movie. Like, just monkey barf in a helmet, and you put it on the guy's head, because that's comedy. So for years, I was just, like, fighting back, like, just the worst ideas, like, sticking Harry Potter in it, and, like, I was like, what are we, it's not a spoof movie, what is this, you know? But they were always cool to me, and they were always like, you made the movie you promised, and we're just going to try other things, and ultimately, they gave it back to me.
And this guy stuck to his guns. I was like, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, come on. A monkey who's not in the movie takes a Stormtrooper helmet, drinks a Heineken, throws up in the Stormtrooper helmet, and then Dan puts it on his head, and that's just for the trailer. Like, seriously? But I'm not going to lie, if I saw that trailer, I would laugh, and I'd be like, I'm definitely going to see that movie.
It's a good movie, man.
It's a great movie. So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, which I'm sure you have, go watch that movie. It's great.
It definitely is. Oh, here's a question that I feel like is probably not fair to ask people, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you have what you could say definitively is your favorite Steel Wars episode?
Oh, man, that's a... It should be a hard question, but it's not. It's definitely Mendo. That from the sizzle to the actual episode, man, it was just, I was like on the edge of my seat. I'm like, wait, that's a cool Photoshop picture he has up there with Mendo in his apartment. And I'm like, wait a minute, still doesn't mess around like that.
Yeah, I love that episode. I actually got to sit on the very couch where Mendo was, and I thought, oh, Mendo, I wish I got to meet you. If only you were still here. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for doing this. These are always fun, man, and I'm glad you picked the episodes you did, especially episode 10. I haven't thought about that one in a long time, but tell the listeners where they can find out more about you.
You can check me out on Twitter at rdizzy, and I'm actually the public relations officer for the O-line garrison of the Fighting 501st, so you want to go online and check us out, you can go to oldlinegarrison.com and check that out. If you have any questions about anything about the 501st, shoot me an email.
Well, Ryan, thanks again, man.
Hey, I'm a big fan of what you do for Steel and what you do for your other podcast. And like I said, I've been waiting for this recording. And like I said, you're a man of many talents, and it's definitely appreciated.
Oh, thanks, dude. Thank you so much. And there we have it. Thanks again to Ryan for picking these episodes, and I hope that you'll go back and check out the full-length version of each one of the picks. If you're a Patreon supporter and you'd like to be a guest on Strother's Wars, all you gotta do is comment on the Patreon post for this episode, and I'll reach out to you and we'll set it up. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you can take care of that right now. For just $1 a month, you get access to all of the entire back catalog of the regular Steel Wars episodes. For $3 a month, you get all that plus the Patreon exclusive shows, including the Robbo Report, Juklin Strikes Back, and the brand new upcoming Star Wars Year By podcast with Steel and Hawes Burkhart from Blue Harvest and Rogue One podcasts. Go to patreon.com/steelwars and sign up right now. If you'd like to hear more about what I do, check out my podcast, The Bad Motivators, a malfunctioning Star Wars podcast. We drop new episodes every Wednesday. And you can also find me on the Making Star Wars Podcast Network's very own The Sith List. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, I am out of here. And may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
If you're after more Star Wars listening, please check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net, where you can find such great podcasts as Blue Harvest, First Order Transmissions, Idiots Array, Making Star Wars Now This Is Podcasting, Podcast 2187, Rebel Girl, Rogue One, Tarkin's Top Shelf, The Cargo Hold, and The Sith List. So that's planetbroadcasting.com and makingstarwars.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.